At 7:10 p.m., we will call the KPFT LSB meeting for June the 10th. Let's see. So the first thing that we need to do then is get a roll call, if you would, Mr. Secretary.
Okay. Melissa Bowie. Did I hear Melissa?
Not yet.
Okay. Lillian Kier is excused. Glenn Atien is excused. Lyndon Foley. Jerry Fowler.
Present.
Lori Gabick.
Present.
Rhonda Garner.
I'm here.
I couldn't
get to unmute. Thank you.
I saw you. Robert Gartner. Robert Gartner.
Not yet.
Okay. All right. Rico Henriquez.
Hello, hello.
Thank you. Rob Lee.
Hey here.
Michelle Lightfield. Anita Long is excused. PK McCary.
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson.
I am.
Corey Mercer. Stuart Nance. Rick Norris.
I'm here.
Jane Scheidler.
Present.
Debbie Smith excused. Ron Stubers.
Present.
Michael Woodson.
Here.
Colby Wright.
Here.
Susan Young.
Here.
And let's see, Sandy Weissman.
He's here.
That is the end of the roll call.
Teresa Allen's here.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. So let's see, we have then requests for excused absences from Lillian Kier, Glenn Etienne, Anita Long, and Debbie Smith. Are there any objections to excusing these absences? So not hearing any objections, those folks are excused. We'll hope some of our other folks show up during this meeting. The next item then is the agenda. So I'm going to go ahead and read through the agenda for the folks on the stream. This is the June 10th, 2026 KPFT regular LSB meeting. We do not intend to have an executive meeting. It's called by Zoom conference. A note is that public comment is at a fixed time. That's 8 o'clock. Agenda items in order on this agenda may be pulled before or after the public comment period, as required. Public comments at 8, adjournment at 10 are fixed times. Other times are estimates. Item one was called to order, which occurred at 7:10 p.m. Item two is the roll call and determination of quorum. A quorum was reached. Item three is the agenda approval. Item four would be approval of minutes for the previous, that would be the May 13th meeting, which was emailed on, emailed yesterday. My apologies for that. Item five is unfinished business. We don't have any listed currently. Item six would be new business. None has been proposed prior to the meeting. Item seven is the GM's report. Item eight will be staff recognition. Item nine then is, are the committee and task force reports. Item 10 is public comment. Item 11 is the director's reports, the PNB director's reports. Item 12 would be confirming the next LSB meeting as July 8th. And item 13 would be adjourning this meeting. Are there any amendments or objections to the agenda as read? All right. Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. We have the minutes that just went out yesterday, but should be, I think, a reflection of what happened in the last meeting. Are there any objections or amendments to the minutes of the last meeting? All right. Not hearing any. Then we'll move on to unfinished business. I do not believe that we have any unfinished business. Is there any that I'm not aware of? Not from anybody here. Thank you. Okay. On to new business then. Is there any new business? Not at the moment. All right. Thank you for that. So then we'll go on to our reports. The general manager's report is item seven. Mr. General Manager.
Wow, that was quick. Got there quick. Thanks. Okay, so the first thing that I want to say is the May-June fun drive actually ends this Saturday, but we hit our goal last Saturday. We did that in 17 days.
Awesome.
We did that in 17 days. The prior drive took 20. Okay. So during the programmers meetings, as we closed the meeting, I told everybody now envision me as Vince Lombardi with the hat, the clipboard and the whistle telling you to run the play again, but do it faster. They did. So 17 days on air twice a year. I'm afraid that is a technique for raising funds that's quickly.
You're freezing, Sandy.
That's why I have the emergency backup. Okay, let me resume. Getting funds on air is something that we're not going to be able to count on as we have in the past as we move forward. So we're looking for ways to shorten these drives, bring the money in through other techniques. Rob Lee has been a big part of this, whether he knows it or not. We have received advised donor funds this drive and assisted in making that goal. We also have off-air events that assisted in making our goal, namely the Amy Goodman screening of Steal This Story and the reception at the Mucky Duck, which added $7,200 to the drive. So a little boost toward that 175, but primarily we got there so quickly because of the sustainer program. It's really starting to have a big effect. I think we started the drive with, I don't have all the numbers handy, but we're okay. We're just going to use this and I'm going to mute the other one. Just give me a second here. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, now I'm down to just one me on the call. Should reduce the echo. So what I was saying is we're going to have to look for other techniques. We had an event that fed the drive, but the sustainers really added a lot. The first month's draw, I believe we started around $40,000. And then on June 1st, which is the off month, which is usually a draw of between 15 and 20, came in at 27,000. So we are seeing that wave build with the sustaining program. We did very well on this drive booking new sustainers. One gentleman offered $500 a month on a sustaining basis. I believe that came in on Politics Done Right. I'm not quite sure. But we've got a number of large sustaining pledges that are coming in now. So again, the immediate goal is to get this to about 30,000 a month. I have the number here. I'll read it to you later. We're not there yet. But if we could actually get that closer to 60,000 a month, we really wouldn't need fund drives. So it's just something to think about esoterically. If anybody on the call is not already a sustainer, just give up $5 a month. See how it feels. Anyway, the reception with Amy and the movie went off very well. I think everybody enjoyed it. And it was very kind of Amy to include us on her global tour with the screening. They're definitely on the run. That was quite an experience. On May 28th, two things happened. The Gulf Coast Regional Blood Center had their Bloodmobile park next door. And I didn't quite get a report from them, but I know that a few people stopped in the building that had just donated. So I'm assuming they did okay with that. And we were very happy to be part of the community in that very special way. And I hope we can continue to do that on an annual basis. Also on May 28th, Clint Broussard was live from the Memorial Trail Ice House. And so was Channel 39 doing their broadcast with Mr. McKinney and Heidi Vaughn and his show. And we were invited on that as well. So we were doing live radio while they were doing live TV. I don't know if that expanded outreach any, but it's always worth a try. And I think everyone had a little fun with it anyway. So might as well have fun. That was all during Fun Drive too. So we have our summer concert series. The first show is going to be Saturday the 20th, a week from Saturday. And that's going to be on Lyons Avenue. And everybody on the call, on the board, all of our volunteers, you are invited. Just show up. If you didn't buy a ticket, we have room for you. I don't think that summer concert series was all that well received by listeners. And we have invitations out to students at the School of Rock. We'll see what we're going to do to fill that first show. The second one is not nearly as problematic on that level. I want to thank Christine. She comes in and she does voiceovers for us, but in this case, she fixed the toilet that's downstairs in the studio, back of the studio on the first floor. So thank you for doing that. Save the cost of a plumber. And turns out she's very talented and engages on many levels. Speaking of engaging, we've engaged Amorite through East Texas Tower to do the calculations for the drawings, PE stamp drawings necessary to apply for permit, so we can put up our 50-foot tower, which will now be an Amorite tower. They will supply what Roan would not. And I want to thank Stuart Nance for continuing to help on that project. I'm expecting that that information to come across, I hope, this week still. Should be very soon. We'll turn around. We'll apply for a permit. That's an online process with a small fee. And then we wait 20 days. And with permit in hand, we'll engage East Texas Tower to put that 50-foot tower up and change over to a microwave studio to transmitter link, which I think is all too important. I want to thank Teresa and Christine and Augie and Melinda, Matt, Kurt Goodrum, all of whom have come in and called lapsed donors recently. And we're $5,679 to the good this fiscal year because of those efforts. We got plenty more phone calls to make. If you would like to participate in this, it's a great way to get immediate payback to the station between fund drives, et cetera. But thank you guys for doing that. And if you're interested, please contact Robin Lewis. And I want to thank Rhonda, who continues to come in and help improve our accuracy on credit card numbers that didn't quite run right, and otherwise help Robin once a week. So Rhonda, thank you very much for doing that. That too is having an economic impact on KPFT to the positive direction. I want to thank Dr. Bob Sanborn, Rico, and several other dedicated producers. You can call them maniacs. Sometimes I do. And hosts on Amplified Houston. That show continues to thrive. I think I said last time Families Empowered just came on board and increased the amount of underwriting that we're getting from that show. We presented the idea to the other station managers, and we're thinking of Amplified America to go ahead and feed Central Services what should be a significant amount of money for 1 hour airtime on each of the Pacifica stations each week. So we'll be working with the other station managers and Stephanie, and we're going to make this happen. And through this process, we hope we can replace the missed income from the stations not paying into Central Services, namely WBAI and KPFK in Los Angeles, both of which are still struggling to get on their feet. Out front, there's a very interesting green space with lots of varieties of weeds and other things. And Arlo continues to come in every week and cut back everything and maintain that yard. Thank you, Arlo, for doing what you do. That's a job I think that if any of us were to try to tackle, we may get through it once. He's coming every week to do this, and we cannot thank him enough. I also want to thank Howard, and he came in to help pitch. He's also done a lot of work during the drive, including the remote, making sure shows were placed right, hosts were connected properly by Zoom, etc. The production details count, and Howard works very hard to make sure they're right. So thank you, Howard. I want to thank Keith over at Cruiser Roasters. He is continuing to supply us with coffee beans so that we can drink coffee while we do radio. And if you don't have coffee, you can't do radio. So, Keith, thanks for making everything possible. I want to thank Elise and Blue, who continue to drive social media. The last month, 34,162 views. That was up 47%. 4,162 interactions, up 58%. We're talking about Fun Drive now, so this is really important. We wanted to see these things perk up as we're driving people to the website and to Facebook and other social media platforms. And overall, an engagement is counted as a 6-second view or a more lengthy view, 10,014 of those. Marlo has arranged the schedule in the evenings. You're going to continue to see more changes to the grid coming up. But on Thursday, we have the Freedom Block, if you tune in. We have Politics to Punk, as she puts it, and things are proceeding very well, including having people actually show up in the studio just to kind of hang out and see what's going on. And that's on the Punk, the new, and the New Wave, the Tsunami shows. We're seeing, for the first time in years, a younger crowd coming into the studio to attend. So that's really welcomed. As the school year is ending here, we're wishing everybody a happy graduation. We're also going to see our interns depart. And I want to say thank Lily and Andrew and for their dedication to KPFT and their help around the station. They're doing whatever Marlo had them doing or Howard had them doing, learning the art of radio and helping where help was needed. So thanks to those folks for doing that. Mayana, who produced the Black History Month series back in February, and she did it so very well, is going to be creating special programming featuring the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Constitution. She started working this week with Howard on all of that. So look for Mayana's inserts. And we're so happy. She's so enthusiastic about learning the art of radio and continuing to develop as a producer. If you're interested in training, we're still running training at the station. Contact Marlo. We had 2,761 household memberships, according to the report that I got from Robin. And this time I can break it down for you. We had slightly more than 3,200
individual members embodied in those 2,061 households. So that 10% adder that we've been estimating all along may be a little light, but it's in the ballpark to the households. I mean, when you do want to estimate the total. Don't forget that concert series again, June 19th. And everybody is invited to that first one. Just show up. You know, donations are optional for the first one. We had a cumulative membership at 0.6, and the hours were, and it didn't print on my page for some reason, somewhere around 112,000 cumulative listening hours. One thing of note with this drive, I want to talk about the fund drive a little bit more. We had a lot of difficulty with this drive, and this goes back to, believe it or not, the Department of Homeland Security not being funded. Part of that package is the SISA, which is a security watchdog over the internet and financial transactions, and there was none there to do that job. And so we got thousands, literally thousands of $1 fraudulent pledges. Those charges were reversed. And this is due to Allegiance not having protective layering in their software. We're working with them now. It's not just us as an Allegiance customer. This is pretty broad, this is broad spread, and also to other companies like Allegiance that process credit cards. So anyway, that's being looked at. And as you donate to KPFT by clicking donate at kpft.org, you'll notice the screen looks pretty different. What we're using in place of our own credit card processing currently is Zepi, who has no charge to us. They do ask you for an optional TIF, which you don't have to leave. And we do get paid by them. We use them during the crawfish boil very successfully. So I just wanted to alert everybody that we are experiencing this credit card trauma, for lack of a better word. So sustainers currently, we're getting $27,516 per month. However, when that gets updated at the end of this month, given all the new sustainers we signed up, we'll have a better fix on the number coming forward. That's because we draw credit cards four times in the month, and I know that we've done the first two. We have two more to go. So next month, I hope that number will show a slight increase over that, but that's still a healthy number. Available cash as of Monday was $208,290. All the credit cards are paid off. Now, when you examine that, don't forget there's restricted funds in there from a grant that powers the Huntsville transmitter, tower rental, et cetera. And that amount is just under $8,000, $7,945, and decreasing every month. We have about a year's worth left. And then we will have to bear the cost unless the Brown Foundation wants to refresh their grant. We will be asking them. In addition to the normal expenses, we again paid this month, and we will every month through the end of the year. And for audits and for elections combined, that's an additional $9,200 per month. That's a surcharge on the station in addition to central services, and that's imposed to all Pacifica stations and the affiliates as well. Or, excuse me, not the affiliates. It's not their election, so they don't have to share that part of it. And it's not their audit. They're just affiliates. Anyway, that's what I got, so I'll take questions. Thank you.
Jane, you've got your hand up. You're first.
I do have my hand up, and at the risk of sounding a little bit sycophantic, for which I apologize in advance, I just want to say a kind word for Sandy's management and leadership. You know, he's very generous in acknowledging everyone. And I know everybody works their butts off, but it takes management and leadership. So thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Jane.
Good job. Yeah. Good.
Other questions?
Sorry, go ahead.
I saw Rhonda's hand.
I think she was clapping for you.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that I think we were the only Pacifica station to go over our goal or even make our goal. Some of the results were kind of frightening. The economy is really difficult, and we're all Pacifica, all of us. And we are attached to those other stations. So the waters ahead may get a little rough. So do what you can to encourage people to listen, to donate, to become sustainers of this station.
And just to refresh everybody, sorry, my kind of, the three concerts, what are the dates on the three concerts again?
The first one is the 20th of June. That's a week from Saturday. And that's going to be at the Deluxe Theater on Lyons Avenue. And if you'd like to attend, please just email Robin and we'll save a seat for you. Okay. And again, you don't have to pledge for this. Just come on out. Well, I really appreciate everybody's volunteer service on this board and all the things that you do to help around the station. So, that's the first one. The next one is at the same theater on July 6th. I don't have a read on tickets. That's going to be more popular. That's going to be Betty Sue and James McMurtry. The first show is the Mighty Ork, Sparky Parker Band, and Leonard Lowdown Brown. So the first one's blues. Second one is Americana for sure. McMurtry was on my show not too long ago, and man, that guy, he's something else. Like, he can write, and he can sing too. And then the last show is going to be on August 28th, and that's going to be at Shoeshine Charlie's Big Top. And that's going to be a jam band type of thing with Midnight Beverage. And again, they're just kind of getting started. They're very, very good in my estimation. The Hightailers and Synchronicity 3. And that one again will be in late August. So those are the three shows we have laid out.
The other question would be, given the credit card difficulties that were going on with the Allegiance stuff, how does that impact us directly, and what are they doing about it to deal with it?
Well, they're going to refund all the charges. So, and they're also, Allegiance is removing them from our accounting system, if you will. Allegiance is really banking software. Okay. So everything gets logged. When I pull a report of donors to my show, I have several that donated. And where Robin did not remove these because she was bopping them on the head every time she could, but there were just too many too fast every day, and her attention was needed elsewhere. When I pull those donors, there's a bunch of $1 pledges that are still in our system. So those are coming out of our system. All the charges are being reversed. I did get two phone calls, and I did get two emails from concerned people. One guy was out in Washington. We had a real nice state of Washington, real nice conversation. He's a former Houstonian, knows about KPFT. And when I explained what was going on to each of the people that sent any communication, I think they were very satisfied with the explanation, and they should see that refund as well. So no.
Weren't able to convert any of those.
Pardon? Sorry?
Weren't able to convert any of those to larger donations.
Yeah, there you go, right. Now, you did a dollar. Want to add a comma and a few zeros? That'd be great.
All right.
But kidding aside, that was not well received. I will compliment, there are three parties involved. There's Allegiance, who's the banking software. There's the credit card processor. And then there's the front end, and the credit card processor is Paya, P-A-Y-A. I call it Paya. They call it Paya, literally. They've been very responsive. However, the other two organizations, The other one, I think it's called, it gets confusing. I think it's called Alira, is the other one. They're the front end where you hit, click donate, and you put your name and your credit card information and all that stuff. And then that gets transferred over to Allegiance. It's that layer right there that caused the problem along with Allegiance. So we know what it is. They know what it is. Now that maybe they passed funding, I don't know what that was for. Maybe they funded this SISA, CISA. So,
okay.
I hope so. Great. Yeah. But, man, that was – it was terrifying because what was happening, after 1,000 transactions, Paya cuts us off. It's a tripwire. One day, get 1,000 or more. And we tripped that wire more than once while we're on air asking for money. You would call, your credit card would be declined. You would go online, your credit card would be declined until we could get a hold of Paya. And again, they were very responsive, and within 5 minutes on the phone, maybe 10, that counter was reset. So we began a habit of resetting it in the morning when they first opened, and right before they closed, we would reset it again. And we found that was largely enough to get us through the day. But it was just another layer of stress, and Robin really, really helped out a lot with that. So these little things really could throw us off the rails when we're trying to make a goal.
Right.
Especially quickly. We had to get off the air. We can't do that. Can't keep asking.
Well, that actually, unless somebody has another item for Mr. Weinman, that takes us to our next item, which is staff recognition. So did not know that that was going on, but thank you to Robin and everybody else that worked on making sure that people donating could actually get through and making that happen. I also wanted to say that, and I'll just, sorry, I didn't put my hand up first, but, that I've been listening to shows at sort of random times of the day that I had not listened to before. And every time I do, I find some interesting stuff on. So, you know, thanks Marlo. Thanks Sandy for, encouraging those folks and getting them on there. And I don't know if it's staff recognition, but to those programmers, there's good stuff on there. So I really appreciate that. It makes it easier selling to other people as well. Then, Rhonda, you have your hand up. Rhonda, you're there.
I am so sorry. Just so you know, the top of my screen, I can't see that I'm muted. I apologize. So I just wanted to add to throwing kudos to Sandy Weinman. I've known Sandy a really long time and worked with Sandy over many, many, many years. I know how much he cares about this station, has always cared about this station. And as long as men and women such as him are around, KPFT will survive. We're like a diamond in the network. Those California stations, they got a lot of people working and getting paid. And Sandy inspires us through his example. I don't know that I could have said that 20 years ago. I've watched Pacifica go through so many incarnations. And I feel like the one that we're in right now is a beautiful, peaceful, productive one. And I'm ecstatic about that. And I can't thank Sandy enough. And Sandy, thank you so much. Otis, thank you so much for showing up to Scooter's Memorial. I've made a lot of relationships in all of these decades. And those of you that haven't been around for decades and decades, I promise you, you're going to make some really good working friendships. So Sandy, thank you so much. And you're a wonderful DJ too. You're a wonderful DJ. So thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Rhonda. Susan, you are next.
Yeah, I have lots of thank yous to do. I mean, for one thing, it was wonderful to see the collection of programmers and obviously Robin and Rhonda managing the entry for the Amy Goodman reception. Good food. And also I heard a wonderful interview on, I think it was one of the Amplify Houstons, where there was a doctor being interviewed, and it was an excellent interview. It was really good. He was talking about, you know, so what happens as people get older and stress and all those things. He was excellent. I love the fact that Michael Woodson had on an artiste who was talking about a way to celebrate the 250th. Would be to have each state kind of explore what its sacred elements are and express that. I think it's a great idea. I wish there was somebody to do it. And I love Elise. I gave her a suggestion and she said, "Oh, that's great." Whether she thought so or not. And I'm not going to get her name right, but Malawa, she is fabulous. Who did the African American month. And I'm so glad you're back to do those pieces.
Mayana. Yeah.
She is great.
She's got a lot of energy. Good energy.
Great. Thanks, Susan. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Throw something in there. Going. Thank you, everybody. That is item 8 of our agenda. Item 9 would be the committee and task force reports. The first of those being the development and outreach committee. We switch people that are doing that, or Teresa, are you the?
Okay, well, I'll make a few comments, and if Debbie Smith would like to say something, she can. We were prepared to work with Brian Havlinka and two of his co-producers at the Pride event, which was postponed because of a possible electrical storm. So that's been postponed. So we're looking forward to doing it some other time in the near future. And I'm looking forward to that. That's what I love to do. I want to help programmers that want to do some sort of community event and they need some assistance and we can work with them. So, it was just great having a nice talk with Brian, and if our program director can encourage them, if they want to do a community event, we will assist. So we are currently working on several projects individually, checking out possibilities, and we are also calling lapsed donors. I did have a lapsed donor that kind of missed, you know, you get feedback as you talk to people, and he was saying, "I love alternative radio, and I realize you can't put it in your archives for very long, but I'd like to listen to it." And I guess maybe technologically challenged, but I kind of looked for alternative radio and I couldn't find where it was. So maybe if we can assist our listeners a little bit, that's just something that, you know. These things come to me when you chat with the listeners. They're great people, really great people. All Debbie, right. Did you want to say something?
I don't think Debbie's on today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, she's excused. I'm sorry. My bad.
We do, and Melissa's not on either. She is our new community outreach coordinator. Have you had any, is she a part of those meetings or is, not yet?
I think she wasn't at the last one. It might have something to do with her work schedule. I'll try and touch base with her this week.
Okay. That'd be great. Thanks. Then governance, is also Debbie.
Could I interject just a little bit? We've got almost big news. We are developing a plan to organize a recognition dinner, and more news will be forthcoming. Thank you.
That would be development and outreach, news.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I think, yeah.
All right. Great.
It's outreach.
All right. Then, governance, and that is Debbie, correct? And Debbie is not here, so is there anything else, any governance discussions that anybody's aware of? If not.
Jane has her hand up.
You have your hand up? Is it?
We had a governance meeting last week and we did not make quorum. And there was a new meeting scheduled and right this second, I can't tell you when it was. But that's sort of non-news.
All right. Thank you.
We did meet. We tried to meet.
The governance committee meeting is supposed to be tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night. Okay.
I think that's right. I'm having trouble this week knowing what day it is.
Well, Susan definitely sent an email out like alerting that quorum wasn't made and that the meeting had been rescheduled for tomorrow night.
Okay.
So thanks.
I guess I can go to, KPFTX to get, or if we can get Zoom coordinates for that, I would appreciate it. So some reason I'm not on the list of, like, I don't get the, no reply at sort of notifications of governance meetings. So,
could I interject something about governance?
Right.
This is a text from Debbie, just recently received. She does not believe there'll be a governance meeting tomorrow and ask if, unless Susan wanted to run it as the secretary. We can discuss that later, Susan.
Yes. You can think about that.
I
may be recognized by the chair.
Yes.
So what I think I'll do is I'll send out a note as the secretary. I'll send out a note to members. I think if Debbie isn't there, that's an important missing thing, and get a sense of whether we meet tomorrow or postpone to a future date.
Okay, great. Thank you. The next one would be Committee of Inclusion. Are there any members of the Committee of Inclusion? Teresa, aren't you the PNB representative on that one, but has it had a meeting?
I'm very sorry. I will take the initiative to contact, I think, Lillian Kerr, and I will definitely have a report for you next month.
Okay.
About
great.
COI.
All right. Okay. Appreciate that. And we're getting pretty close to our time for, public comment, but, Inclusivity Task Force, sir. Any report out from that? I think, Pika, you're the only person from that group that's in this meeting at the moment. Is there any news from that task force?
No, I mean, I've done the work that we had worked on, Tori, Adriana, and Nancy. Others didn't show up, and so we didn't have quorum. It's a very needed committee, but it takes a commitment to it. I've been doing workshops on restorative justice these last few months, and created a deck of cards that talked about five different pillars of restorative justice. And I think that that is something that the community of inclusion, the CLI, would need to come when I do these workshops with other restorative justice organizations like Justice, I can't think of the name of them, one of them, but there's several. Surge members have come and talked about these five pillars. So if there's nobody on the COI but me, then I don't want to run it by myself. There is where we are.
Understood. All right. Thank you. We're a few minutes to our public comment period. So just a sort of a blurb at the front of this, that our bylaws call for a 30-minute interval for public comment at LSV meetings. And this gives the opportunity for the public to address the board, but not vice versa. The rules for this time are that we don't talk about personnel issues or make ad hominem attacks, derogatory statements. If that sort of thing happens, then I can remove people from the meeting or ask them to stop. Board members are not allowed to comment, speak, or respond, which makes it a little tough, but it's public comment. Time for each speaker is 3 minutes, and if all speakers have had an opportunity, then people who have spoken before may speak up to 2 times. We also have some community organizations that would like to address the board. They can get their 2 3-minute pieces together, so they get six minutes. And we'll let those folks know at about 5 minutes when their time is just about up. And I believe that we have at least 2 people from community organizations. The first one being Mark Cotham from Books for Development. Mark, are you,
Yes.
Here? You have Thank 6 minutes.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with the board of KPFT and the public at large about Books for Development. It is very much a product of a stone soup approach to philanthropy. We have a lot of people throughout Houston that believe that people are a lot better off with books. And they also believe that the world's poorest people deserve a chance in this life. And so what we have done is we have combined the tremendous surplus of books that Houston and the United States has. We take that surplus and we distribute those books where, frankly, there are none. I started off with a listening tour in 2009 and 2010 of 20 villages in northwest Uganda. I had just fallen in love with the people and decided I really wanted to see if there was a way I could help them. 20 out of 20 villages all told me that their number one need was for us to help them educate their children. This was right in the teeth of the AIDS epidemic, and so you really had a missing generation. I was talking mainly with orphans and grandparents, but the fact that these people's priorities were so strong and so indicated that they valued education really impressed me. And so I came back to Houston, started working with my church originally. We worked out of our basement for a while, and today we have at 3709 Polk, a substantial warehouse where we have at any given point in time about 120,000 books. You know, if you just think about the number of times you've had friends that have moved out, people downsizing, all those sorts of things, there's just an enormous amount of books, good books, that could be recycled. And that's what our organization is all about. We use volunteers, 100% volunteers. We have no paid staff. We organize the books here. We get the donations. We box them up, and then we send them in the 40-foot cargo container. So at any given point in time, we're shipping about 40,000 books. We've shipped a total of over 2 million books and have established over 700 libraries all throughout Africa, but also in the Americas. And right now we're working in Belize and Guyana, places like that where English is spoken. And to the extent that we get Spanish books, we work in Spanish-speaking countries as well. You know, I was thinking about addressing KPFT in particular, and I thought, you know, in a lot of ways, we believe in the same solution to problems, and that is that people are so much better off when they have knowledge, when they have exposure to a lot of different thoughts. And that's what we're attempting to do for the poorest people in the world, is bring them the opportunity through books to get into a larger frame of mind, to understand where they are in relation to the rest of the world, and to tap into that world and to become a part of it. We certainly love the idea of working with KPFT if the occasion ever arises in the future. We have constantly new and ongoing interesting projects. Right now we have a project we're working on with the president of Botswana to make healthcare career book boxes that will go all over that country, serve as mobile libraries to encourage the children to become doctors and nurses and other healthcare professions. Exactly what a developer needs. Likewise, we have all the time different interesting books that come up at the warehouse and different interesting groups that want to work in different places all over the world. So I think in a lot of ways, KPFT and Books for Development, as I say, are have the same solution, maybe for different audiences, but it's important that way. Finally, I just want to say that aside from the direct beneficiaries, the people who receive our books, the people who are working with us are just getting tremendous amounts out of it. We have everything from relatively young junior high school students to seniors, and we all work together again as a community. It's a bunch of bibliophiles, people that love books, love just going through the books, figuring out what books will be good for different villages, et cetera. And it's really, in that way, a joy. And, of course, to just be helping people is always a joy in and of itself. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for this opportunity. And, again, I look forward at an appropriate time to speaking with anybody at KPFT about whether or not there's additional comment and that we might provide in a future circumstance. Thank you.
What's the website?
It's www.booksfordevelopment.com.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Cotham. Appreciate that.
Thanks. Thanks.
That address. We also have today with us Kathleen Spangler. I see that you're on here with Hope Center Houston. That's not much of an introduction, so go ahead and introduce yourself, and you'll have 6 minutes.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to address you today and tell you a little bit about how we're helping our unhoused neighbors up on the northwest side of Houston. Hope Center Houston has a heart for serving people experiencing homelessness. We're a day center, and we believe in serving mind, body, and soul. So we take care of daily, basic needs such as food. We serve breakfast and lunch every day, and clothing, showers, laundry, that sort of thing. But more than that, we want to walk alongside them, get them referrals, do housing assessments, get them connected to permanent housing. We've been pretty successful with that so far this year. We have housed 38 of our guests into permanent housing into their own apartments. We serve about 1,000 people typically in a year. We have some guests that come every day to our day center, and we have others that come, more sporadically. But we believe that homelessness in large part is a catastrophic loss of community for a lot of people. And so to step into that gap and to help be part of the solution, we believe in rebuilding a community around our guests. We're volunteer based. We have 3 paid staff. Everybody else is a volunteer. We have some volunteers that have been with us our entire existence. We've been around about 10 years. We were founded actually, because of one, unhoused man was charging his cell phone outside of an Episcopal church in Northwest Houston called St. Dunstan's. The priest went out there, noticed him, had a conversation with him, and learned that he lived in an encampment across the street, not too far from the church. They had no idea, and there were about 20 people in that encampment, and that led to some discussions. And, just to the people at St. Dunstan's credit, instead of saying somebody ought to do something about this, they said we should do something about this, and raised a little bit of money and went to different other organizations, other faith-based communities, and raised a little bit more money and started the first location of Hope Center Houston, which was just a small space in a strip center. 4 years later, we moved into our current building, which is larger and allows us to do more things. We have, in addition to all I've told you about so far, we are a faith-based organization. We don't push faith on anybody. No one has to participate in the faith-based services, but we do have worship and spiritual services because we really do believe in serving mind, body, and soul. The need is growing. Honestly, we have experienced a real uptick in the amount of new guests that we are bringing in every day. From like today, we had 5 new guests. We typically have between 1 and 8 new guests a day of people we've never seen before. And we work with them, just to really solve the barriers that we have in becoming more stable and more self-sufficient. And that could be something as easy as getting a driver's license. Many of them lack, official IDs. We work with them on there, getting potential benefits, but also connecting them to employment, to mental health care, substance use services, and housing, because it's hard to recover from any issues if you're sleeping out on the street. And so we really focus on trying to get them. I think one of the most important things that we do for our guests is to know them, is to get to know them, to look in the eye, to know their names, to know their story, because they're all unique. They all have a unique history, a unique set of dreams and skills, and like all of us, challenges, and just to get to know them as people, and really to walk alongside them in a way that leads to them, really becoming able to take care of themselves and in housing, and safer and more healthy. And so I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with y'all today about this. We are hoping to grow soon and actually add shelter as a part of our services. There's really no shelter there's not much outside of downtown, and certainly not in the northwest area. But we have a significant amount of unhoused individuals out there needing shelter, and so we're hoping to you know, obtain some greater capacity, more resources so that we can house people while we're looking for more permanent solutions for them. And I really appreciate the chance to talk to you.
Thank you. You hit 5 minutes. Perfect.
So then, okay, let's see, looking for other, let's see, Sandy, is that a question for Kathleen, or are you?
I just wanted to make sure that we got their contact information. If Susan, do you have that? Please forward that to me. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then other members of the public wishing to address the board, Nancy, you are first in line. You have 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. 3 minutes plus 3 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay. I got on this meeting late. So did anyone talk about, Barry Klein? Okay, nobody talked about it. Okay, we lost a very wonderful, busy person for justice, for life in Houston, and he was part of the original KPFD volunteer team, Barry Klein. We lost him last week. I think Friday he passed away. And I think March 25th has been declared Barry Klein Day by the Houston mayor or city council. Barry was into many things, and he was telling that, you know, zoning, leave it up to the people to vote on this, on whether we go zoning or not. And then before the rail was built, he was saying buses, he was distributing literature, buses are better and more economical for Houston than a rail. And right after that rail was made, you know, we had flooding. We had an accident because it's right on the ground. You know, in Japan, all these rails are lifted up. We don't have things like that. But anyway, a lot of his things were really on point. And then he was on the Ralph Nader Radio Hour one time, and he said, politicians and some small towns have little numbers. For example, San Marcos, they wanted to get the fluoride out of their public city water. And so I forgot what the number was. It was something like 500 and they got busy and they got their petitions and they had a referendum vote and they got fluoride out of San Marcos's water. That is really wonderful. Anyway, he was encouraging, he was on, Ralph Nader Radio Hour. It's on Sunday on the HD2, KPFD's HD2 at 9 a.m. Anyway, very sad that Barry is gone, and I think we should continue to keep up his work. It's just very sad not to see Barry. He answered the first phone call that when we went on the air and said that KPFD is a new radio station. So the phone rang and he picked up the phone and he told me, he said, all of a sudden he heard this beautiful music he had never heard before. And it was the first song, Here Comes the Sun by George Harrison. It was from the Apple Abbey Road, Beatles Abbey Road album. I really think that should have been the cover song. But anyway, he was the first volunteer of our station. One of them. One of the first. Okay. I would like to say, we're still in a court, ordeal about this, new bylaws that was, passed in, executive session, you know, violating the way a new bylaws is passed.
Nancy, that's yes? 3 minutes. We come back to you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Back to you.
Thank you. Mr. Crozier, you're next up.
Okay, thank you, Ron. Yep. First, I want to thank whoever arranged for Mr. Cotham and Ms. Spangler to talk about their organizations here. I think we need more of that. I'm glad you're doing that in the LSB meetings, and I hope we can continue working with organizations like that more with KPFT. Also, I want to thank everybody who was involved in making this fund drive success and reaching the goals early. So, Sandy, please, you know, pass our thanks along to everybody. I know there's many people involved. I'm glad that we're going to move forward on getting the microwave link for the studio to transmitter link going again. I think it's been maybe close to 20 years since we've had that. The dish up at the old location was damaged during one of the hurricanes about 20 years ago. And then there were some other issues, but I'm glad we're getting that going. But I just want to mention this also gives us an opportunity to save maybe a little bit of money, because that's something else I think we've been needing for a long time, is to get a tower climber to climb up to our antenna, and inspect the antenna, because I think our transmitting antenna has been damaged for a number of years, and it got worse after Beryl a couple of years ago. The signal strength's worse, and we're going to have to hire somebody to climb up partway up anyway. It's, you know, our antenna's about 200 meters up off the ground, and the dish for the microwave link will probably be a third or a half that way. But if you have somebody to go up there and do that installation, I hope that you can pay them a little extra, get them climb up there and inspect our main antenna and take some pictures. And maybe we can come up with an idea of what it would cost to get that fixed properly to help people, you know, in fringe areas and even like where I live Southeast Houston, and sometimes it's hard to get a good signal here. It'll help get more listeners and maybe more donations. And if you, on the air, if you can come up with an estimate of what it's going to cost to get it fixed, that's a good thing to ask for donations for in the next fund drive too. Also, finally, how much more time do I have? 1 minute. Okay. Well, just real quickly, I was involved in another nonprofit organization a few years ago that had a similar problem with the credit cards, and the organization or the service we were using said it was usually caused by people getting stolen credit cards and credit card numbers and testing them to see if they'd been canceled. And we ended up having to change to a different credit card processor, and that eliminated the problem. So just something to think about. If Robin wants to talk to me, that's fine. But I'm sure the company that she's working with is probably knows what to do. But thank you. I'll shut up for now.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Nancy, you have your hand up?
Yes.
You're recognized for three.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. This new bylaws, it takes away the right of the membership classes to elect all the 24 people. It's going to be downsized to, I think, 18. And we elect some people for the LSB, but officers. And then the officers and the staff, there's going to be two staff instead of six. And then the people who are elected are going to elect six people or select, not even elected. So this is back to self-electing. And that's how we got into trouble at the turn of the century. And a judge ordered Pacifica to have democratic elections. So we're going backwards. And so what's going on now, if this court does not fix things correctly, then there will probably, you know, be another lawsuit. And because you can't add new stuff to this settlement lawsuit that's going on now. So if you want to know about this, go to PacificaFightBack.org. That's all one word. And it's the first item after you hit menu. It's the first item. And your votes discarded. It also downsizes the national board. I think it's down to from 21. It's going down to, I think, 15. And they select the ones that are elected. They will select two, I believe. So instead of electing, it's selecting. And for the LSB, it's even worse. Six people, they don't even run, and they get selected. And this is favoritism. This is self-electing again. And it's not democracy. So if you want to know what's happening, go there to Pacifica Fight Back. And it's got the new bylaws with the scratch-outs and the underline and the changes made. And you can see it there. Number two thing I'd like to talk about is the, you know, we have the power of the mic, and we should tell the people or let the people know and see evidence that we can use this mic for really important problems to discuss, and at the same time bring in new audience, new members. For example, we could do the town hall on mass incarceration and invite the Lawyers Association and judges and former judges and probation officers, and most important, maybe anonymous input from ex-incarcerated people. I'm sure they have some important information to share. And so we could have a town hall on that. That would be wonderful. Another thing is that SNAP, which is the food stamps, is being cut. And so there's federal rules that if you're not getting so much SNAP, then your children cannot get a free lunch at the school. And so it's kind of tied together. And this is wrong because it's not any fault of the children or the families. And so food is a very, like this organization that was speaking today, I think it was Hope Center Houston. Yes, food is a very important, and especially for children. So we could do about the food situation for school children. And also we could have a town hall about, do you realize that Houston, Fort Worth, and Beaumont independent school districts have been... Yes? Did I go over? Okay, back to you.
Yeah, thank you. Are there any other members of the public? Bill, your hand is back up. Would you?
Okay, yeah, if nobody else that hasn't spoken yet. First, I want to say Nancy was right about Barry Klein. He was one of the first volunteers at KPFT back before even I moved to Houston, which was in 75. And although we disagreed on a lot of political things, we had different political viewpoints, we did agree on some things. And Barry, like a lot of people at KPFT, you know, really knew how to get people to talk to each other, even if they came from different points in the political spectrum. And I think the dialogue is really good. I learned from him about that. And there was an article on the front page of the Houston Chronicle, I believe it was Saturday, if anybody's interested in reading a little more about him. It didn't mention KPFT, I don't believe, but he was involved in a lot of things, especially libertarian-type issues, which is not where I'm coming from. But we agreed on things like reducing weapons, money spent on military, not having the U.S. being the policeman of the world and issues like that. And I think that's something that, you know, in KPFT we talk about, and I think we should talk about more, because we can reach across the political divides a lot of times and find common ground on things like that. I know Michael does that some on his show, Michael Woodson and Egberto and a number of other people. And I appreciate that. And I hope we can do more of that. Thank you.
Okay. Great. So I think that's twice for all the people that have their hands up. So that's our public comment. We'll leave it open. If there are other folks that come along, in the meantime, we can move along with our item 11, which are the PNB director's reports. And I would note that in the meantime, I also got a message from Michelle Lightfield, who is requesting an excused absence for this evening. She's having some health issues. So are there any objections to including her in the excused absences? Hearing none, we will include her in that list. Thank you. So the PNB director's reports, do we want to start with Susan? Do you?
Yeah, let me start off. For one thing, I have forwarded a couple of times the executive director's report, the shareable part of it, that she provided to the PNB on June 4. And there is a lot of useful information about it. Progress in it, progress on the bylaws, progress with putting together the election. There have been a total of 26,000 plus email notifications and 26,000 SMS text messages distributed to listeners and staff members through the network. As of this report, 5,469 recipients have engaged with the nomination announcements, which is the point that we're at now. She has given the address or the contact information for the National Election Supervisor, who this year is Anya Lovest, and it's nes@pacifica.org. We had a PNB meeting on June 4th, and the major action that was taken was to adopt a waiver procedure, a hardship membership waiver procedure. Teresa is on that committee that developed that proposal, so she may be able to address that. The audit committee is only going to meet when the auditor makes a report, probably in July. And we have been told that we will get the FY22 and FY23 audits done in July. That's really important. And then we have 24 and 25 that will be done by the end of the year. I chair the personnel committee. We had a meeting. We are meeting regularly with the executive director. We are collaboratively developing HR procedures, policies and procedures, which basically Pacifica has not had. And she is starting with evaluation procedures for paid staff. They're paid staff in a lot of the not in Houston, but in other stations. Paid staff, some are union and some are not union. So that's a starting place there. And I think that Teresa is here, and there was an NFC meeting too that was very productive. I think Michael might be able to address. Teresa, you want to talk about the waiver?
Yes.
Before we get to that, can I ask a question about something that you just mentioned?
Sure.
And that would be, the ED report plus like 150 something, nominations being submitted, but there isn't any indication on the elections website about like where they're going. Do we have any kind of idea about when that's going to?
The election, let me just address that. The elections website has had sort of a roadblock. I think that the issue may have been that if you push the save button, it doesn't, you know, it saves it. It doesn't load it in. And if you push the send button, it loads it in. And so they're more up to date with the people who have registered to run. And so that gives you an idea of who you might want to be nominating. You do not have to know who's running before you nominate. You can nominate people you think should run.
How will folks know if they have sufficient number of nominations to get on the ballot?
So they're actually now clocking those in. Okay. And just a little update on that. 100 nominations are needed for the 4 national board officer positions. And those nominations must come from at least 3 stations. And they can come from both staff and listener members from all 5 stations. There is a representative from each station who is elected by listener members from that station. So there are 5 of those, and each of them has to get 50 nominations from listener members. There are two staff members who serve on the national board, and they have to each get 10 nominations, and I think it's from any station or all stations. The LSB members and the staff on the LSB, the LSB officers and staff on the LSB have the same threshold that was the case before. Officers are 15 and staff are 5.
Okay. Thank you. So sorry, Teresa, for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Very good questions. I'm wondering myself. I mean, that's kind of wading into this process. Regarding waivers, there are people at the stations who would like to vote and they would like full membership, but they don't have $25. And maybe because of mobility issues, they cannot get to the station or don't have transportation to get to events to participate. So we approved a waiver process where we have 5 positions, five at each station, and people can apply to receive a waiver to become a voting member of that station. It would be approved by a group of people from all of the stations, representatives from all of the stations working together to approve those waivers. I don't think we have that problem at KPFT, but it could be, for example, someone that's at a prison would like to become a voting member, and they could, for example, contact the station and get permission to log in time by evaluating programs, for example.
All right. Great. Thanks. So other directors' reports, Michael, we have?
Good. Yeah, well, I'm on the National Finance Committee, and we meet every second Tuesday at 7:30. So we met last night, and it was streamed. Last night we had three things come up that I can report. We did a review of the consolidated monthly income statements. That's from the Nationals, giving us the monthly income statements from the different stations. So it's kind of a comprehensive financial results. And we saw them from February last year to February this year. And the report was very positively received. First, because we were grateful to get it, you know. You know, these things go slowly, and as we know, we're kind of turning the boat, very large boat. And so it takes time. So we're glad to finally get the information, financial information. And secondly, the reports do indicate that the boat's upright and it's not really leaking too badly. There are some deficiencies and underperformances from different stations, some hangups. And I would just highlight that KPFT is really doing well compared to the other 4 stations. So I guess the big issue is, well, the past debts that we still hold, but also paying central services. You may know that from our fund drive, we kick in a certain percentage called central services, a tithe, some people call it. And we're still trying to get that going forward from particular KPFK in Los Angeles and WBAI in New York. And, of course, that affects things like the audit that we're doing, the elections, and just the money that the central office needs to operate. So that was a you know, a good thing to look at and, you know, an example of providing oversight, the board oversight of management. And the second thing we discussed was the policies and procedures of Pacifica. And that's kind of a work in progress, very abstract and very large thing, but we're trying to get the stations and the affiliates to kind of come together so that there's a central database. And, you know, the emphasis is, I think Sandy mentioned that, you know, we are a network. We are, you know, one entity. And, you know, we're just trying to get that consolidated, not for, you know, micromanaging the different stations, but just for basic services and basic operational measures. As you can imagine, it, you know, there should be a kind of a repository, you know, of the network with regards to its membership. So that largely, you know, kind of, well, I'm kind of skipping to another topic, sorry, but basically getting all the stations under a central focused policies and procedures is good. And, then, you know, in addition to that, or kind of in conjunction with it, is this idea of having a database with the memberships from all the stations, which of course will not only help or is necessary for doing the elections, you know, because they have to be valid, and run procedurally well. So, you know, the national office does the elections and needs the information from the stations about membership and staff to make that happen. And, but it's not just for the elections and fundraising, but also Stephanie, the, executive director pointed out it was important to be able to communicate from the main office, from the national office to the members in the spirit of service and, you know, just, general communication, strategies and, you know, what's desirable in an organization like this to keep in touch with people. And then finally, we're looking at the idea of raising membership fees from $25, I think is the baseline. That is set by the national board. So it's something that the national board, determines and it's, sort of set down and, as a kind of in stone in the bylaws. So it is the national board's determination of what the membership fee would, should be. A lot of people are thinking $25 is not enough. And so this prompted us to ask the number of members who actually limit their donations to $25 a year. And we're looking for some information about that. And also we don't want to do this while we're in the midst of an election so that we can have stable and clear voting procedures. You know, not, you know, to sort of cloud who is a member right in the midst of an election. So that's my report. Be happy to, thanks for listening. Be happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Michael. Questions? Anybody? Crystal clear. That's a lot of stuff going on. Appreciate that. All right. Are there any other PNB business that we should be aware of? Just not really. Okay. So that would be item 11 on our agenda. Item 12 is to confirm that the next LSB meeting will be July 8th. 2026, so early in July. Item 13 then is to adjourn this meeting. If I can get someone to
motion to adjourn.
Susan's move to adjourn. Lori seconds, I think.
Yes, I second that.
Thank you kindly. All right. Thanks, everybody. This meeting is adjourned at 8:39 p.m.
Thanks.
Hi, Jerry.
Thank you, everyone, for contributing.
Be well. Be well.